So before we come to worship and start our service, I just want to read to you from the book of Psalms, Psalm 42. As the deer pants for the streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food day and night, while men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from the mount of Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By the day the Lord directs his love, at night his song is with me. A prayer to the God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Father, for each of us, wherever we are this morning, we put our souls, our belief and our faith in you. You are our rock. Amen.
Let's stand together and sing, Be Thou My Vision.
Bye.
God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
Please do sit down. In a normal Sunday morning service here, Richard would normally have a box or a bag or something exciting to say to the children and the young people. The exciting thing that I have to say to the children and young people this morning is, you've got extra time in your classes. That's exciting for me as much as it is for you, believe me. So, for the young people, we're just going to pray for the young people and their leaders, and then you'll be off and out to have some fun. Father God, we thank you for everybody here, old and young alike, but particularly this morning. Father, we are praying for the young people who you have put into our care. We pray that they will enjoy learning about you, being together and being a community that is a part of this church. And Father, we pray that they would know your love and your spirit within them as they listen to the stories and learn about what you have done for each one of us through the death of your Son on the cross. So, Father, be with their teachers. We pray that they will be inspired as they lead these young lives. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Okay, guys, away you go. We'll see you later. Have a lot of fun. Well, not too much fun. All right, have a lot of fun. And while the young people and children are leaving us, just turn to the person next to you. I know that some of you are, Luke, this is going to be you out there. Nothing personal. Just turn to the person next to you, say hi, and just share something that you are in faith for this week. What's it that's challenging your faith? What are you praying for? And just share that together, please. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is a personal God. It's not about us, it's about me. Jesus died for me and my relationship with the Almighty, the all-powerful God who we worship. We're going to sing again, O Thou Who Camest From Above.
Thank you.
Come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. Increase in us, we pray. Unveil why we're made. Come set our hearts ablaze with hope, like wildfire in our very souls. Holy Spirit, come invade us now. We are your church. We need your power. We seek your kingdom first. We hunger and we thirst. Refuse to waste our lives, for you're our joy and prize. To see the captive hearts release, the heart to seek the poor at peace. We lay down our lives for heaven's cause. We are your church. We pray revive is build your kingdom here, let thy darkness fear. Show your mighty hand, fill our streets and land. Set your church on fire with this nation back. Change the atmosphere, build your kingdom here. We pray.
Father God, we thank you for everything that you have given to us, and we pray that these gifts of money will be used for the extension of your kingdom here on earth. Father, we give these gifts as a token of everything that we have and everything that we are, and we pray, Father, that you would take and use us in every way for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for this opportunity to pause for a moment in the midst of our busy lives to just be in your presence. Thank you for this beautiful new day and the chance to meet together this morning, to worship you and to share in fellowship with each other. We pray for our church and for all the people within it. We particularly pray for those who are experiencing difficult times at the moment. We think of Edith Porter, who's in hospital at the moment, and just lift her up to you as she's there for those who visit her. Lord, we also lift up Richard and Fiona to you as they spend precious time together. We know that you're with them and pray that you'll continue to be their comfort at this difficult time. Lord, we also thank you for all the things that our church is involved with, and we think particularly of the Light Party, which is going to be taking place on Tuesday night, as an opportunity for the young people to come together to have a party and celebrate away from what is Halloween for a lot of our country. And I really pray that that can be an opportunity for all of those involved to just really have a good time together, but also to see that you are the one they should be looking towards, Lord. We really pray that that event is a real success for all of the children who go to it, and we pray particularly for all those who have put in all their time and work to make it possible to happen on Tuesday. Outside of our church, we think of Newbury and pray for our community. We think particularly of the many areas that NBC is involved with helping to serve those in the community around us. We continue to thank you for street pastors and for the positive difference they've made over the last few years. And we also lift up to you the Night Shelter Project at the moment, which is hoping to provide shelter for some of Newbury's homeless over the coldest months of the year. Lord, we really pray for that project and that they're able to get through the number of volunteers needed and all the paperwork and bureaucracy that goes along with such an event so that it can be really possible for them to make a difference to those who are homeless in Newbury at the moment. In our wider world, we also pray for numerous events that we see unfolding daily in different places. We continue to ask for wisdom for politicians, both in our country and in Europe, as the Brexit negotiations continue. Lord, we really pray that you guide those people who are making important decisions and that it is possible to achieve a really positive outcome and that you really just do guide them, have your hand on them on that whole situation. We also pray for Catalonia and Spain at the moment as they face times of uncertainty. In this situation too, we pray for wisdom for those in position of authority, and we really pray that there is no violence and disturbance at this time when there is likely to be so much difficulty and uncertainty ahead. Finally, Lord, we pray for Paul now as he brings your word to us this morning, and we pray that he will speak personally to each one of us this morning. In your name, amen.
Stand or sit, as you wish.
Be lifted up, be lifted up, as we bow down, be lifted up, be lifted up. Be lifted up as we bow down. Be lifted up. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the nations be glad. Let the whole earth tremble. For you are God, come and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. As we bow down, be lifted up. As we be lifted up, be lifted up, be lifted up, as we bow down, be lifted up. Let the nations be glad. Let the whole earth tremble. For you are God. Come and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness.
Romans 14, the weak and the strong. Accept the one whose face is weak, without quarrelling over disputable matters. One person's face allows them to eat anything, but another whose face is weak eats only vegetable. The one who eats everything must not treat with contempt the one who does not. And the one who does not eat everything must not judge the one who does, for God has accepted them. Who are you to judge someone else's servant? Do to their own masters servants stand and fall, and they will stand, for the Lord is able to make them stand. One person considers one day more sacred than another, another considers every day alike. Each of them should be fully convinced in their own mind. Whoever regards one day as special does so to the Lord. Whoever eats meat does so to the Lord, for they give thanks to the Lord. And whoever abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of our lives for ourselves alone, and none of us dies for ourselves alone. If we live, we live for the Lord. And if we die, we die for the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. For this very reason, Christ died and returned to life, so that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. You then, why do you judge your brothers or sisters? Or why do you treat them with contempt? For we will all stand before God's judgment seat. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will acknowledge God. So then each of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put any stumbling block or obstacles in the way of a brother or sister. I am convinced, being fully persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for that person it is unclean. If your brother or sister is distressed because of what you eat, you are no longer acting in love. You do not buy your eating destroys someone for whom Christ died. Therefore, do not let what you know is good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating or drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Because anyone who serves Christ in this way is pleasing to God and receives human approval. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a person to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother or sister to fall. So whatever you believe about these things, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who does not condemn himself by what he approves, but whoever has doubts is condemned if they eat, because their eating is not from faith, and everything that does not come from faith is sin. Thanks be to God for his word.
Thank you, Renata. It's a whole chapter of Romans. It's Romans chapter 14 that we've just read, the beginning of the chapter to the end. And it's a long passage. So we're continuing today in our focus on worship in different contexts. Today, we're looking at worship in the context of fellowship. And as you will quickly draw, I'm sure, from the words that we've just heard, Paul is writing to the Romans about how they should behave within the context of fellowship. What Paul is beginning to unpack for us here is a life of worship not an event of worship. If you look at the majority of the New Testament, and together we've looked quite substantially over the last couple of years at Luke's writing in both the Gospel of Luke and in the book of Acts, where Luke talks a lot to the Jewish community about the history of the Old Testament and all of the Jewish expectations of what the Messiah would really be about. In the book of Romans, we find Paul talking to the church in Rome fairly early on in its life. One of the things that we know about the church in Rome, and we don't know a great deal about its actual genesis, where it actually was formed, but one of the things we do know is that Paul had not visited this church by the time he wrote this letter. So he's writing to a church that he doesn't know personally, but he does understand. In the early parts of the book of Romans, he talks about there being no slave or free, no Jew or Gentile. He talks about there being no male or female. He talks about all of us being individuals before God. And what he understands in writing this book, and it comes through very clearly in the first 11 chapters, where Paul is unpacking theology, he's unpacking it for a community that is not Jewish. For us, in modern day United Kingdom, Romans is considered to be one of the most important books of understanding theology for people who are not from a Jewish background, which I think covers most of us, maybe not all of us, but most of us here this morning. So when we look at the first 11 chapters, it's a theological treatise. It's an unpacking of why God is a God for the whole world, and without all of the trappings of Judaism, without all of the understanding of Jewish history and Jewish law, why God is relevant to us exactly here today. After chapter 11, to the rest of the book, what Paul begins to focus on is how to apply that theology in our day-to-day lives. And this chapter 14 is very much about how we should be applying that theological position that he's laid out in our daily lives. And it brings forward for us a number of key and really important things to understand. Remember, he's writing to a church, a community, a society, if you like us. But he's also writing very clearly in this piece, in this passage, he's talking about it personally. It's not about what we do together, it's about what I do within the context of this assembly, but also more broadly. Remember that at the time that the book was written, both Romans and much of the New Testament, society got together to worship God daily. It was a daily exercise. For us, it's something that we do for about an hour, hour and a half once a week. We come together in this kind of a forum. Had an interesting meeting this week, actually. Neil and myself and Tim met with the architects, who we have asked to take a look at the buildings and consider what we might do with them. And we spent some time, they were asking us, not about what shape we wanted the buildings to be, they wanted to know what we wanted to use the buildings for. And we were unpacking for them that concept that actually the work of us as a church takes place normally 6 days of the week in there. And that the indulgence of the church takes place for 2 hours on a Sunday morning in here. We indulge ourselves in our learning, in our worship, in our singing, in our praying, but the work of the church is through there. It's where we meet with the community that is the people of Newbury. So when we think about what we're doing from a building's point of view, we're thinking about the work of the church, not as a place where we find self-indulgence in worship, it's what we do as Christians, but actually in how we take that faith, that engagement, that encounter with a living God in a day-to-day way to the community of people that don't come here on a Sunday morning. We work through that concept and they get it. I can assure you that the architects get it. They've encountered it before elsewhere. So there are three things that I want to pick out from this section of Paul's letter to the Romans this morning. Number one, salvation is personal. It's not corporate. We are not saved by coming here. We're not saved because everybody around us is saved. We're not saved by being part of a church. We're saved because Jesus Christ died on a cross and rose again for me, for each one of us individually. However, there is a collective responsibility. And Paul, again, as we go through the chapter, is talking about collective responsibility about the behavior of the people in the church. There is a collective responsibility about how we show our love and our faith to people who are not here in the service on a Sunday morning. And the last piece, which comes in the last half of the last verse that Renata read for us, anything that we do without faith is sinful. The concept of personal sinfulness. Now, if you go back in Jewish culture and again you look at the majority of the New Testament canon, you understand very quickly that they understood Genesis. They understood, the Jewish people understood Genesis. They understood the concept of original sin. They understood creation. They understood the falling out between God and man over what went on in the Garden of Eden. But when Paul's writing to non-Jewish people, he's got to establish that as a concept, that individual sinfulness as a concept. So he's building that concept into how he's describing what we need to do and how we need to behave as a church. So the focus is on that message that we are sinful and we need redemption, and our behavior demonstrates how far along that road we are. Paul, actually in the very beginning of the chapter, recognizes we are not all in the same place. What are you in faith for today? I asked you earlier to talk to each other about what it is your faith is challenging you with today. What are you in faith for today? It's quite easy, actually, in our situation, in our world, in this part of the world, to not have to live awfully by faith. We've got an excellent social services. You can argue that it could be better, but realistically, compared to vast parts of the world, we have an excellent set of social services. We've got excellent healthcare, we've got pensions, we've got jobs, we've got incomes. It's part of what we have in this part, even of this country. And for many of you who will know, if you go to other parts of this country, it's not the same. It's not the same. There are people without jobs. There are people who haven't been able to find work for years and years, even in this country. There is poverty in this country. There's poverty in the United States of America. One of the biggest and most sophisticated economies in the world today has got a very big divide between the haves and the have-nots. Paul recognizes that not everybody is in the same place. Even in here this morning, we're not all at the same level of faith. And Paul says very clearly, do not be proud about your level of faith and ignore the level of faith of others. As a community, we need to recognize that we're all on a journey, including the people who haven't quite made it through the door yet. We've got to love those people just as much as we love each other in here, and enable, support, facilitate the journey that we're all on. What Paul is saying is, think about this as a collective, get through the idea that actually what you do when you're in here and what you do when you're not in here has an impact on everybody around you, even those who are sitting around you right now. Do not say, oh, well, it's all right for me to eat meat, but it's not all right for you to eat meat, so I'm better than you. No judgment, right? He said, don't judge people. Eating things is not really an issue for most of us in here, in this part of the world at this time of this time of life. But for the Jews, there was quite a significant set of challenges, and particularly as you went to Rome, there was a lot of religious belief around what the people of the various different gods' temples were allowed to eat and what they weren't allowed to eat. What Paul is saying is, look, think about everybody, about where they are. You haven't got to say, you're wrong, it's okay to eat meat. Or you're wrong, it's okay to go to work on a Sunday. Or you're wrong, it's okay to go shopping on a Sunday. Or it's not okay to go shopping on a Sunday. And think about that. Over the years, certainly over my Christian journey, the church, not this church, but the church in a wider context, has spent quite a lot of time saying, it's not okay to go shopping on a Sunday. It's not okay to go to work on a Sunday. You should be guilted into not doing that. The message that we've given as a church is you, that's you out there, should not do something which we find offensive. Rather than saying, come, explain what you're doing, let's go on a journey together. Now that's high contrast. We all know about the Keep Sunday Special campaign and how important it was to some of us, even in this building right now. And how some of us even feel about shopping on a Sunday right now. That's okay. But what Paul is saying is that's about you. It's not about them. You can't impose what you believe on others just because you haven't got there yet or they haven't got there yet. Recognize it's about me and my relationship with God. Accept everyone. Encourage and enable everyone. Salvation is personal, not corporate. And as a church, as we begin to think about engaging with our wider community, the community around us, the community that is being built by the town around us, we're thinking more and more about what we say and what we don't say. How do we judge people? Should we put a sign above the door that says, everybody's welcome in here? Oh, unless you're gay. Or unless you're Jewish. Or unless you don't quite believe what we quite believe. If we're going to put a sign above the door that says everyone's welcome, what we need to mean is everyone. And the inclination, the inbuilt thinking in so many of us that we've grown up with of, but that's wrong. It might well be wrong for me, but who am I to say that it's wrong for you? Paul says, do not judge. Make sure that you understand where people are coming from. I'm quite happy so long as my sensitivities are not disturbed. Well, hello. Paul is being clear. In this very melting pot of the church in Rome, the sensibilities are personal. Of course we have to have rules. We were listening last Sunday to Jonathan sharing from Corinthians where Paul, that's the same Paul, was writing to the church in Corinth that does come, or that did come, from a Jewish root about chaos in worship. You remember? He talked about tongues. He talked about making sure there was order in worship. But that was in worship. What Paul is talking about here is in life. He's not narrowed it down to, oh, and when you meet together in a church on a Sunday, don't judge each other, but it's okay for every other day of the week and for every other hour of the Sunday that you're not in church. That's not what he's saying at all. He's saying for life. If you are saved, do not judge each other. And that's really tough. I really wrestled with that one. As I was preparing this sermon over the last couple of weeks, I've been really, really struggling with the There are so many things I want to say to people. I want people to understand what it's like to be free. I want people to understand what it's like not to be in a situation where they're being judged. But how do I do that without actually judging where they are? Ah. The problem is I have to listen to them. That means I have to listen. I have to listen to people who are not in here. I have to listen to people that I work with. I have to listen to people that I encounter in my daily life. I have to listen to where they are spiritually, and that means I have to ask them the question. What does God mean to you? And as a Christian, I find that quite difficult. I'm a pretty confident individual. I spend a lot of my life standing in front of people, actually sharing information, telling people what I know and helping them to understand, unpacking stories of, you know, how we got to where we are in a world of technology. Technology's great, doesn't argue back. But actually, when you begin to deal with the people, that's a bit more difficult. Challenging us to think about how we listen and not how we tell. This idea of the Keep Sunday Special campaign, of the, oh, you shouldn't go watch that video. I remember as a young Christian, campaigning against the showing of certain TV shows and campaigning against the showing of certain movies in movie theaters, because it was all about me. I wanted everybody else to be disciplined in the way that I was being disciplined. And I wanted to impose that on everybody that I met. It didn't go down very well, I have to tell you. And it didn't really work, which is probably a good thing. Because at the end of the day, it's not my judgment. And when I stand before God in judgment at the end of my earthly journey, it will be what I did to other people, what I thought for other people, what I imposed on other people without listening or hearing where they are. So Paul makes the case. Salvation is personal, not corporate. It's about me, not about you. There is a collective responsibility for enabling those, as well as those, to help each other to understand on the journey of faith. The collective responsibility for those and for these is about meeting together. Talking with Tim, actually, and the architects again, on one of the things which Tim obviously knows, because he's the man who controls the heating switch, is that the heating is turned on 6 days a week in there. It's not turned on 6 days a week in here. There's no need. Why would you turn on the heating in a building like this when it's, well, not being used? Why is it not being used? When are we meeting together to hear each other? To hear each other's discussion about where we are in our faith, what the challenges of our individual faith are, what the challenges of our faith together as a community are. We have to meet together. I mean, popping in for an hour on a Sunday is great, because listen. To the chatter that's going on right now. There isn't any. Of course, coffee time is a great time to share. How you doing? Had a good week? Yeah, great. Coffee, good? Yeah. No coffee this morning. But can you help with the chairs? That's great. Thank you. That's good. Walk away again. How much did you encounter each other's faith today? Walk away again. And if the next time that you see anybody who's sitting around in the church today is this time next Sunday, where's the challenge? We meet together. We have a collective responsibility not to discipline each other and not to tell each other what's right and wrong, but to actually tell each other what's right and wrong for me. I can tell you what's right and wrong for me. And I know that what's right and wrong for me is not the same as what's right and wrong for everybody else, because that's what Scripture tells me. But the way that I learn is from you. It's
I read, of course. I read from other people. I read all sorts of things in order to prepare for this. But the way that I learn how to live my life is from you, not from books or academia. And the last thing that Paul says, the very last piece, actually it's the lead into the chapter 15. So Paul is going to continue with this theme right the way through to the end of the book of Romans. The last thing that Paul says that he leaves us with, and I will read it from Scripture. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. The understanding of the Romans about what sin was about, remember what I said earlier, the Romans didn't have the foundational component of Genesis, of the understanding of original sin, the understanding of the Jewish canon on sin and sinfulness, and the separation between man and God. Everything that does not come from faith is sin. So Paul is helping the non-Jewish community to understand faith is what keeps you in your relationship with God, and anything that you do on your own without living by faith is sin. What are you in faith for this morning? And the challenge that I've been dealing with for me for the last couple of weeks as I've gone through this understanding, this unpacking, is what am I doing in faith? What's my faith challenging me with today? And that's about me and God. And if you want to understand what that is, ask me, I'll tell you. It's not easy, but I'll tell you. Listen to each other. What is it that we are in faith for as individuals? And that's it. That's the message that Paul gives us from Romans chapter 14. As we look at this in the context of worship as a community and in a community. It's a community, but it's about us as individuals, how we behave, how we present our faith outside as well as inside. And it's all too easy not to bother. Let's sing. Let's close our service by singing to the God who has saved us. We're going to sing King of Kings, Majesty, Lord of Heaven. That's who we worship.
King of Kings, Majesty, God of Heaven, living in me, gentle Savior, closest friend, strong deliverer, beginning and end. All within me calls at your throne, your majesty, I can bow, I lay my all before you now. In royal robes, I don't desire, I live to serve your majesty. Earth and heaven worship you, love eternal.
Father, we have just sung, I live to serve your majesty. Father, speak to us right into our hearts. Tell us what you want us to do as individuals as well as together as a society which is looking for improving our faith. Father, we pray that in this week you will build us up, strengthen us in one another. And now we say the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.